The word of God given to us today is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Allow me to read the text. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Among the four great tragedies of Shakespeare, Hamlet, Othello, King Lear, and Macbeth, the most tragic of them is King Lear. Lear was a king of England. He had three daughters. The first daughter, Goneril, was the wife of Duke of Alberni. The second daughter, Regan, was the wife of Duke of Cornwall. The youngest, Cordelia, was being courted by the King of France and the Duke of Burgundy. They were staying in the palace on a long-term basis. Because Lear was an old man of over 80 years, he wanted to give away his kingdom to his daughters and his sons-in-laws, and wanted to live his remaining life without care. On a map, Lear divided his kingdom into three and decided to give them away by asking his daughters how much they loved him. The first and the second daughters were full of greed and did not really love their father. Only the third truly loved her father. When the question was put to the eldest, Goneril, she answered as follows, "I love you to the extent of not being able to express my love in words. I love you more than the limitless land and freedom. My father, who is great and honorable, is more important than anything in the world. You are as important as the graceful, healthy, beautiful, and glorious life. I will care for you with the greatest love that a child could have, with the greatest love that you have not previously received." At the time, the youngest murmured aside, "What should I say? I love him, but let me be quiet." Lear, who heard the eldest, pointed to the lines he drew on the map and said, "I will give you the forests and the large pastures, and these rivers full of fish and the pastures around them will be yours. They will be yours and the descendants of Alberni." When Lear next asked his second daughter, she answered as follows, "I feel and think the same way as my sister, so my sister has spoken for my love as it is. Only if I were to add to what my sister has said, I will say that if there is any pleasure in addition to performing one's filial piety, even if such pleasure is the most noble and the perfect pleasure, I will consider it my enemy. I will only feel the greatest joy in offering sublime love to my father." At this time also, Cordelia says aside, "Now it is the turn of poor Cordelia, but my love is not poor. My love for my father is much greater than what can be uttered with tongue." Lear, who came to be in a good mood, said to the second daughter, "This one-third is definitely not worse than what I have given Goneril. In terms of size or value or its worth in giving you joy, I will give this land to you and your descendants." At last, Lear turned to the youngest and said the following, "Cordelia, my youngest, but who gives me joy no less than her sisters. Now what can you do in order to make the land yours, which is greater than the lands given to your sisters?" Cordelia answered as follows, "I have nothing to say." Nothing. Lear became surprised and angry and said that she would not get anything if she has nothing to say, and urged her to say something. Cordelia answered, "Unfortunately, I can only speak the truth, Father, you have given me birth, raise me and love me. It is only my duty to love you. I will obey, love and respect you. If my sisters really loved you that way, then why did they get married? If I marry, then my spouse will take away half of my love, care, and duty. If I were to only perform my filial duty to you, then I will not marry like my sisters. Lear, who became angry at such words, said, "Make your truth your diary," and gave away half of what he had intended to give his third daughter to each of his other two daughters. He further declared that he would only keep the position of the king, but that he was giving all powers, authorities, and revenues to his two sons-in-laws. And he took off his crown and gave it to his two sons-in-laws, telling them to wear it in turn. He said he would take 100 knights and stay at each of his daughters' places, alternating each month. The Duke of Burgundy, who had asked for Cordelia's hand, returned home when he realized that there would not be any diary. But King of France said even if there is no diary, Cordelia was enough for him, and he returned to his country with her. Lear thought he would spend his life in comfort by going back and forth between his two daughters' places. Were mistaken. Lear suffered an insult when he visited the eldest, Gonerelle's place. Even her servants did not listen to him. Gonerelle also told her father that he should reduce his knights to 50 because it was not appropriate for him to have a large group of knights. Lear, who became angry, said, "I have another daughter," and went to the house of his second daughter, Regan. But Regan did not even greet him, claiming to be tired, having just returned from a journey. Regan, who made an appearance with her sister, Gonerelle, demanded that his father reduce the number of his knights to 25. Lear then said he would return to Gonerelle, but Gonerelle said why there was a need for any person to follow Lear, given that numerous servants were looking after him at her house. Regan also said that if it were just her father, he was more than welcome, but no servant could accompany him. Lear, at the end, lost his mind and wandered the fields, wearing a crown made of wild flowers. And sisters Gonerelle and Regan ended up loving the same man, Edmund. Gonerelle, who became jealous of Regan, killed her by poison and killed herself as well. And the youngest, Cordelia, was killed by Edmund by stranglement. Lear, after hearing the news of the death of his two daughters, greets death while crying out before the body of Cordelia, who loved him with truth, but whose love he failed to recognize. In the first act, fourth scene of King Lear, there is a dialogue between Lear and his jester, which takes place after he made a wrong judgment as to which daughter truly loved him. "Doth any here know me? This is not Lear. Doth Lear walk thus, speak thus? Where are his eyes? Either his notion weakens, his discerning, or lethargy. Ha, waking. 'Tis not so. Who is it that can tell me who I am?" Lear not only was not able to discern which daughter truly loved him, but because he did not know that his judgment was faulty, he became a protagonist of tragedy. In our love and faith, the importance of discernment cannot be emphasized enough. Life is made up of continuous events that require us to ceaselessly make judgments. Depending on how we discern events that are before us and how we make our decisions, the shape of our lives will be different. And depending on how we judge people who are with us, and the people we choose to have relationship with, the quality of our lives will come to differ. Apostle Paul is praying for the church of Philippi, for which he harbored deep affection. Because the church of Philippi was very vulnerable, he could have prayed that a very powerful man who occupied a key position and was like the right arm of the Roman emperor would come to be attached to Philippi church so that they could serve God without being interfered. Or that a wealthy person who controlled the Philippi market would come to be attached to the church so that the church could become a financially wealthy. Or that the best Philippi scholars would all come to believe in God so that it would become a church that could lead Philippi society. But Paul's prayers for the Philippi church was not that of that kind. Paul's prayers for the Philippi church was not for some benefit before one's eyes or for comfort, but they were something that allowed for the more fundamental, bigger picture for the Philippi church. He prayed that the church of Philippi would become more and more abundant in love, and he said that knowledge and insight should be added to such love, because it is easy for love without knowledge to become blind, and love without insight is like the waves of emotion that is narrowly prejudiced and thinks only of what is right before one's eyes. Today's text gives the reasons why Apostle Paul prayed that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Verse 10 testifies as follows: so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. There are two reasons behind Paul's prayer that the love of Church of Philippi will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. The first is to discern what is best. This is because in discerning what is best and selecting it, love with knowledge and insight will abound more and more. But before the words, what is best, there is a small footnote. And if we read that footnote, it says, or what is not the same. In other words, the literal meaning of the words, what is best, is what is different. In our language also, when we describe something that is outstanding, we sometimes say it is different. In advertising a car, to say that the cars made by that company is better than cars made by any other company, they describe it as being a car at a different level. And there is an advertisement which says, a little difference makes a masterpiece. This is the same when we talk about people. His ethics are completely different from those of the general public. Therefore, the translation of the word different to the best well preserves the initial meaning of the word. How we distinguish among people and things, and what choices we make, can make a world of difference in our achievements. Even if a person is born into the same environment with the same abilities. Actually, even if a person is born with a gold or silver spoon in his mouth, it is possible for his life to be a continuation of shame and ugliness. And even if a person were not born with anything in his mouth, he could leave behind achievements that are like memorials for him. Future ambitions of children attending kindergarten or lower classes of primary schools are usually 10 to 15. But as they grow up, they become less and less, and at the end, only one remains. And one comes to realize that even that one area of his chosen field is so large that it is not possible to master everything in that area, and comes to focus on one particular area. All this is a result of discernment. There was the following article in the newspaper a while ago. Kim Min-ji, a violinist, reported to the police that her Stradivarian violin had been stolen. There are only 450 in the world. Kim went to England when she was 3, studied violin from the age of 6, won the Mozart International Concours when she was 11, made her debut at age 13 with the Berlin Symphony Orchestra, and became the youngest student to receive scholarship from the England Royal College of Music at the age of 16. Kim, on her way to Euston Station in London in order to go to Manchester to meet her friends and family with her boyfriend, stopped by a store to buy some sandwich and coffee. She ate sandwich and coffee, which cost her £3. Having put down her violin case on the floor briefly, and while talking on the phone, 3 thieves took the case and disappeared. The violin was 300 years old, and one of her British fans had lent it to her for long term. The violin was valued at being £1.2 million. And within the case, there were 2 bows that were worth 20 million won each. The violin still has not been found, but the perpetrators, John Morgan and his 2 accomplices, have been captured. What was revealed during the hearing was that they had approached a stranger who was sitting in front of them at an internet cafe and asked him to buy it for £100, but this man refused Morgan's offer. The reason was not that he thought they were offering such a great instrument at a cheap price, or because he did not have the money, but because his daughter already had a recorder and he thought she did not need another instrument. For such a valuable instrument, it is a rule that one should never let it out of one's hands. The price paid for momentary lapse in judgment was too dear. And if that man at the internet cafe had any discernment regarding the violin, he would not have responded that way. Our lives and the instruments called our bodies are far more precious than any Stradivarius. There are 450 of them, but there is only one of each of us. Therefore, depending on how we discern the difference about God, our work, and people, we can live a life that has much more value than £1.2 million. The second reason Apostle Paul prayed for the abundance of the people with knowledge and depth of insight is to be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Pure in Greek is elikrines. This word is a combination of the word ilios, meaning sun, and krino, meaning using judgment. So pure bears the meaning tested by sunlight. The origin of the word comes from the ancient pottery business. There are many different types of different qualities of pottery. The price also varies greatly. Cheap pottery look crude and does not require much skill to make. However, high-quality pottery, which become masterpiece, are very thin and are very difficult to make. They often crack when they are baked in the kiln. And of course, such pottery with cracks are destroyed. However, dishonest merchants would sell those cracked pottery after repairing them with wax. It was not easy to identify pottery which had been repaired with wax through the naked eye. So people used to hold pottery against the sunlight to make sure it was flawless. Those pottery that was waxed would appear in black. Because there were such dishonest merchants, honest merchants labeled sine sera, meaning without wax, on the pottery they sold. The English word sincere came from such tradition. We close an English letter by writing sincerely yours, which means my life and mind is pure without wax and is yours. Apostle Paul wanted the Philippi church to keep such pureness without wax throughout, not a life of pretense and despicability. Blameless means both not causing somebody to fall and not causing himself to fall, while truthfulness means complete inside blameless, inside, and blameless means outwardly complete. The question whether people are allowed to consume food, especially meat, which was sacrificed to idols, was a big issue for the Church of Corinthian. People who believe that such food should not be taken argue that eating such food after knowing it was offered to idols means participating in idolatry, whereas people who believe that such food can be taken argue that food is only food. Apostle Paul did not believe in idolatry, so he was able to eat food offered to idols without any hesitation. Nevertheless, Paul gave his answer to the question by stating, "Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall." Without being conscious of God, passing on church leadership as a family legacy, and visiting a Buddhist temple to have a Christian service, and to shout out by declaring that one believes in Jesus Christ while working for God may not be an act causing oneself to fall, but it is a deed which makes many people fall. Apostle Paul's prayer says, "The ultimate day for us to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless is until the day of Christ." It is because everything will be judged on the last day. For students who want to enter university, there is the National Entrance Examination Day. The lives of all 12th graders are focused on that day. Their lives will, after that exam, will depend on how well they took the exam. On that day, whether a student studied or only pretended study will be evaluated. For those who studied hard, though they are anxious about the exam day, it is the day they can leap, while the same day becomes the day of failure for students who did not study. Of course, some, although they have studied hard, may not do well on the exam because they may be too anxious, having barely arrived to the exam place due to traffic congestion. However, On the day of Christ, such thing cannot happen, because God knows everything. All the truthfulness and faults of our lives. There are so many people who live a pure life only for a moment and blameless or only for a certain period of time. But a person living such a life throughout one's lifetime is very rare. Therefore, we have to continue to focus our attention to the day of Christ. Otherwise, all of our pureness will be used to satisfy our own desire, and our blameless will be used as a means to satisfy our pride. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, meditating Lord's suffering and waiting for His resurrection. King Lear was not able to discern his daughters, so his life became one of scattered pottery pieces, causing not only his life to fall, but also the lives of his daughters. Adam and Eve were not able to discern Satan's words and God's words while living in a perfect environment that God allowed them to have, or yet they did not try to discern the two, so they ate the fruit of the tree from the tree of knowledge. Due to such deed, not only their own lives, but the Garden of Eden fell to pieces. They fell, and all mankind fell with them into original sin. King David did not go to the battlefield, but instead was one day strolling the roof of his palace and saw a woman taking a bath. He did not correctly discern such a situation. As a result, his life became pottery broken into pieces, who saw his sons kill each other and had to endure being overthrown by a son and having to run away barefoot. Hierarchies and the Jews, including Pharisees who crucified Christ, were sure that they were right in the discernment. Therefore, they took it for granted to kill Christ, who called himself the God and the Savior. However, they became forever a people who killed Jesus Christ. Saul at one time believed that he was sure that he used the correct discernment and was helping himself and others. However, after meeting the resurrected Jesus Christ, he realized that his life was filled with false judgment because his eyes were covered with scales, and also realized that his life was full of waxes. By hearing the Lord's voice, "Soul, soul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." He realized that his misjudgments not only caused his life to fall, but also the lives of others. After Apostle Paul became a Christian with good discernment, as well as perfect pottery that the God made. So Philippians, which he wrote, allowed many people to stand upright. Even now, after 2,000 years, we are raised, we are able to stand righteously before God. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Be a perfect pottery, not a wax life, and live a blameless life until the day of Christ. We hope this becomes our prayer for our loved ones. Let us pray. Father, thank you for teaching us through today's scripture the importance of a good discernment and how we should lead our lives until the day of Christ. If our discernments in our lives and faith are murky, as those of King Lear, and we continue to make misjudgments without realizing it, please remove the scales in our eyes and enlighten our minds. Also, we confess that although we act as flawless pottery in front of others, if we are viewed in front of God, Son of Truthfulness, we are full of waxes and do not possess a complete figure. Therefore, we present ourselves to you, God, complete, the complete internal potter. We pray you can make us until the day of Christ. So on the day we stand before God, we can become God's choreocelodon and God's porcelain of the Yi dynasty. At this moment, we also pray for Japan, which is in the midst of suffering and loss due to sudden earthquake and tsunami. Although Japan is an economically wealthy country, it is the poorest of poor in knowing God. There are people who have lost their lives without ever hearing the word of God and who have never come to church. Please show mercy on them. Also, please comfort those who are in despair from the sudden loss of their families and belongings, and let the restoration be completed swiftly. Please allow the grace of meeting Christ and realizing the limitation of mankind. Also, please allow freedom to those suppressed from wars and tyranny in many places around the world, and allow bread and the purpose of life to those suffering from hunger. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.